Amen. All right, we're going to the book of 1 Timothy tonight. The book of 1 Timothy, I'm sure you knew this is where we were going. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight as well. I want to give some time in the service to prayer, and we'll just divide up into groups, and we'll pray, then we'll come back and have the Lord's Supper. I want to look at the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, obviously, Paul's writing to his preacher boy Timothy, and his church at Ephesus faced some of the toughest leadership challenges. Nero was in charge at the writing of this epistle. Now, you may look at that sheet there that I gave you, and you might say, hey, there's a lot of people in office that I don't care for. You may think there's a lot of people in office there that I don't agree with. You may say some of them were appointed and I had nothing to do with them. At least we are not living under the regime of Nero, all right? Nero persecuted the church. They were obviously had challenges. There was a fire in July AD 64, and Nero blamed the Christians. And because of that, Christians began to suffer persecution from the Roman authorities. And it's amazing to me how unsaved leaders blame Christians for the problem in society. You know, the problem with society today is you Christians haven't been vaccinated, or you Christians believe this, or you Christians believe that. And they want to do what they can to blame us Christians. Obviously, having recently been released from his Roman imprisonment, Paul was aware of the political situation and its deterioration. And it's interesting that he says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 2, I exhort, therefore, that, look at the next three words. Read them with me, will you? First of all, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's interesting. Prayer should be the priority. You know, there are certain things you cannot do for this country. I don't think any of us have a hotline to the nation's capital. We can call and get somebody of importance. I don't think any of us can get in our cars and drive to D.C. and show up at the White House and say, I'm here to meet with the president and give him my opinion on how things are going. I'm not sure we'd get too far. The last time I was at the White House, of course, when I was in D.C., I make my kids nervous because, you know, I am, you know, you ever hear of Curious George? That's kind of me, and I like to see and, you know, say, oh, wow, check that guy out. That guy's a sharpshooter. Look at that gun he's got. Dad, put your hand down. Dad, that guy's watching you. That guy's got a gun. They might shoot us. You got to be careful, Dad. But we were at the White House. We weren't really at the White House. We were, like, away from the White House, and there's a lot of people. There's a lot of, you know, soldiers at the White House. Kind of a scary place. But in any event, there's nothing that we can do to go in there and say, hey, I'd like to have a talk with you, you know. I don't think any of us have in our sock drawer multi-millions of dollars in our sock drawer at home that we could give to try to impact or influence people to vote in the way we might want them to vote, all right? So what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is we do have something that will make a difference. We do have something that we can do that will make a difference because God says it will, and that is we can pray. And it doesn't say, well, look, I know that Nero is in charge, and we should just pray lightning down from heaven on him, all right? No. Obviously, sometimes that's in our flesh. You know, they heard about the guy that says, I love you in the spirit, but I hate you in the flesh. Sometimes our flesh wants to pray the judgment. You know, God is just, and at some point he'll make all things right. Obviously, we know the Bible makes much of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And 1 Thessalonians were challenged to pray without ceasing. Jesus rose a great while before day and prayed found a solitary place. We read that in the Gospel of Mark. Your prayer tonight, and really our prayer on a daily basis, does make a difference. It really does. And I have found that sometimes, you know, you pray through your prayer list, you pray for yourself, your family, you might pray for your through your church family, but how often we get frustrated, probably on, especially today, in this day and age, with prices going through the roof, and you go in the grocery, you're constantly reminded of some of the challenges we face, but yet we can get frustrated, but we need to turn our frustration into prayer. And I want to give you tonight a few reasons why I think it's important for us to pray for those in authority over us. One commentator said this: the theological issue is not whether we agree with our government or whether our government is fair. Believers must pray for governmental officials because they are in Christ, the believers in Christ, not necessarily the official, and should reflect his character and action. We know from the Word of God, Romans 13, that all authority is given by God. Therefore, as followers of Christ, we respect it. This statement is an all more powerful when you realize that Paul is asking believers to pray for the false teachers who are disrupting the fellowship and governmental leaders like Nero. Our fellowship hasn't been disrupted. The prices might be going up, but we're not even at the level of where they what they were facing here in the book of Timothy, and yet the admonition is to pray. Let me give you three reasons why it's important to pray for government officials. Take a few minutes, and we're going to spend some time in prayer, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper, all right? Number one, prayer brings God's peace. The Scripture says this: I exhort that prayer, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Excuse me, in all godliness and honesty, not this dishonesty, but honesty. The word quiet really is a reference to trouble from without, the idea of the absence of outward disturbance. The word peaceable is a word that really has reference to trouble from within. So we want to spend time in prayer because it will cause us to not be troubled from without. It will also cause us to not be troubled from within. You know, you can have problems from other countries and other nations. You can have problems within your own nation. And what is the idea for the expression of godliness and honesty? You know, as we think concerning a lot of the violence in our society, we have to come back to the fact that the devil, the prince of the power of the air, right, Satan, is a deceiver. And he is often behind much of the violence in our society. And do you know prayer defeats the work of the devil? It's interesting when we see the armor of God there in Ephesians chapter number 6. We're told take the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit and the shoes and all that. And then at the end, what does it say? Praying always. Praying always. As we think concerning prayer, we need to recognize that prayer moves God's hand. How many of you are familiar with Psalm 46? Psalm 46 starts this way. I want you to turn there, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Okay, I got that one now. I'm familiar with Psalm 46. But are you aware that in Psalm 46, we find a verse that really supports what we're talking about when it comes to this matter of peace and God bringing peace? Tremendous psalm here. I love this psalm. He's our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. So if you as a believer are facing trouble, he's very present. He's right there. He's right there with us. And therefore, we're not going to fear that the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. What tremendous little waters roar. I mean, there's some great stuff there. But if you would, slide down to verse number 9. The Bible says this: he, reference to God, maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And then the verse we all love, be still and know that I am God. The Bible says, we know this, Proverbs 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is where? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And when we spend time in prayer, and we pray for those that are in authority over us, The Bible says we pray that. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. That we may, not just that we might just be able to chill and not do anything for God. No, that the gospel might go forward. I don't think any of our teams that went out today had eggs thrown at them, did they? Any of you faced the wrath of the eggs? No. I think we went, and it was quite peaceable, and hopefully we were able to get the gospel into the hands of many. And what are we saying? Prayer brings the peace of God. Number two, prayer, when we pray for those in authority over us, prayer brings not only God's peace, it brings God's pleasure. Look at verse number three. For this, when we pray for those that are in authority over us, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. The word good is a word that means praiseworthy. The word acceptable, obviously, means pleasing or pleasing to our Savior. How many of you like to have a conversation that's one way? Any one way? I won't ask how many of you talk to yourself. Try not to do that, but, you know, if someone in the car looks over there and you're talking to yourself. Can I tell you something? This has nothing to do with this message. And maybe it doesn't faze you, but it kind of fazes me. Have you ever seen somebody in their car with the windows up, you know, the air conditioner on, and they're by themselves, and they're wearing a mask? That's just a little bit of a short circuit to me. I don't understand what they're afraid of in there. And I might rather have them be talking to themselves than wearing a mask in a car by himself with the windows up. But anyway, it is what it is. But we don't like, you know, one-way conversations. We like it when, you know, God is pleased when we talk to Him. I was thinking this afternoon about the time that many years ago, 30-something years ago, when I was trying to get opportunities to talk to my now wife, you know. You try to get opportunities and you think, man, if I can just get, I would plan to get to class a little early, and I try to catch her down in the hall, you know, and try to have a conversation with her. And I thought, wow, I got to talk to her today. There's only one conversation with her that I had that I wish I hadn't had. And she's nervous over there. She one time said, hey, can I talk to you outside? I said, sure. And she brings me outside. I said, man, this is great. This is exciting. Now, let me just preface it by saying this. When we were in college, there was one day a year where the guys called it something different than the girls called it. It was supposed to be called reverse courtesy. And so it was the one time a year where the girls were allowed to ask the guy to go to lunch, okay? I'm not sure what all their thinking was, but the guys called it, I'll just tell you, the guys called it reverse curse. And so they would come in the dorms and, have you been reversed cursed? You know, because normally the girl they wanted to ask them to lunch didn't ask them. You know, it was the one that they wished would never ask them to lunch. You know what I'm saying? So here I am, good old me, thinking I'm having a conversation with this beautiful girl. She says, can you come out and talk to me? And I said, sure. And we're standing right outside the library, and I'm thinking, this is great. She wants to talk to me. And she said this to me. You remember that? She remembers this. She says, hey, this friend of mine, she mentioned the person's name, wants to, you know, ask you out for the reverse courtesy thing. And I'm thinking, this really, I'll tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking, I don't want to go with her. I want to go with you. Why are you asking me for her? You should be asking me for you. But I didn't say any of that because I was kind of shy, you know. I left there thinking I was going to have a cool conversation. And I left there thinking, you know, what's that girl's problem? Now, eventually, it took me a while to convince her that I was the one. But, you know, conversations with individuals, someone, hey, do you know, from God's perspective, you ever think about prayer from God's perspective? You know, we get up, we go about our day, and I remember reading a poem once, I should have brought it, where God, it gives you a little bit of perspective of the Lord and how He's waiting to hear from us. We don't talk to Him. And we think about that. God delights. God's eyes run to and fro the whole earth. He wants to hear from us, His children. And right here in the Scripture, it says, it pleases God when we pray for those that are in authority over us. He's the head of the church. Tonight, as we gather and we spend time in prayer, I can tell you this, God will be pleased. Unless, of course, we're goofing off and not praying. But the reality is, it pleases God. And we think concerning God's heart for individuals. I thought concerning Mark 10. Suffer the little children. All these little children, they're coming. They're going to annoy the Lord. And God says, whoa. No, suffer. Suffer the little children to come unto me. God wants to hear from us. And I think when we look at what the scripture says here, it pleases the Lord. And then number three, prayer not only brings God's peace and God's pleasure, but prayer brings God's power. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? I think that it's not just salvation, it's also knowledge of the truth and knowing and growing, if you would, in the truth. And you think concerning the power of God in answer to prayer. One commentator said this, when the government operates well, it is a significant ally to the gospel. Knowing that the mission of the church is to reveal and disperse the truth of Jesus Christ, Paul emphasized the need to pray for those in authority. So why? So we could facilitate, if we would, the truth of Jesus Christ. Obviously, referring to the Nero as the great persecutor of the church. In our own time, we must recognize that corporate prayer is not only a central expression of worship, but a requirement. Regardless of political loyalties or persuasions, churches should pray for national and local governmental leaders. When I think concerning prayer, you know, one of the greatest demonstrations of the power of God is the transformation of a life. God saves. And we think concerning, we could make a list here. You think about the Apostle Paul and where he was. Think about some of the disciples, tax collector and fisherman. And what does God do? God transforms their life. And the power of prayer is at our fingertips. Our prayer will move God. I don't understand it all. I just know what the Bible says. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Do you know the same God that answered the prayer of the early church when Peter was in prison, and humanly speaking, he was really on death row, about to be killed, and God, in answer to the prayer of the church that was made without ceasing for Peter, and God opened the doors. That same God, who has the same power, is able to work on our behalf. Can you imagine? We don't think in these terms, but can you imagine going to battle and hearing on the news that the enemy, they all at one time were blind? That's what we read in the scripture, don't we? Sure. And you think concerning, that's our God. And his power is not limited in 2022. And we may say, hey, I've got issues with what's going on. The way to correct what's going on is to do our part and to pray. And prayer will move God. We think about Elijah. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, right? And he held the rain up. Really, it was God's power on his life. And then he said, hey, it's going to rain. We referenced Esther this morning. And what did they do? They proclaimed a fast and they prayed as Esther went in. Nehemiah was a man of prayer, God's people. We think of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. We think concerning the early church, the many times in the early church where God's people prayed. And God will answer prayer. Let me read you just one more illustration and we'll go to prayer. Every day when the sun rises over Washington, D.C., its first rays fall on the eastern side of the city's tallest structure, the 555-foot Washington Monument. The first part of that monument to reflect the rising sun is the eastern side of its aluminum capstone, where these words are inscribed, Laus Deo, Latin for praise be to God. This compact prayer of praise, visible to the eyes of heaven alone, is tacit recognition of our nation's unique acknowledgement of the place of God in its founding and its continuance. We want God to continue to bless America, do we not? And Paul writes to Timothy in a challenging day when Nero was killing Christians, burning them at the stake. First of all, you need to pray for those that are in authority over you. Whether we agree with them or not, we need to pray for them. So tonight you have, hopefully all of us have, a little sheet here. I got this from the Intercessors for America. You can see that at the top. And I get an email from these folks probably on a daily basis. They keep me informed not just with the news, but with how you can pray for things that are going on in the government. And they have compiled this list. And I thought when it comes to those that are in authority over us, that we should have something to pray through. And so here's what I want to do. I want to divide this up.